This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And here he is, Portland legend Joey Harrington. And the listeners this week, Joey, are hoping for more Bourbon Joey, who debuted last week, and the people loved it.
It wasn't last week. It was 2 weeks ago. We've had a couple. Weeks of Bourbon Joey.
Well, we didn't know that, but last week,
yes, we did because we talked about Eagle Rare the first week, and then last week was Weller. I remember these things.
Okay, all right. It was great.
I was gone for the first, so I can only comment on last week's, and I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, what are you saying? That
previous to
Bourbon Joey was not fantastic.
No, it's just that bourbon makes everything better.
Yeah, there was a little extra pep in passion in the step there.
Find me something that bourbon doesn't improve.
Golf.
Oh, I beg to differ. You get right
after a certain point.
Absolutely. You're telling me that my round of golf isn't more enjoyable with bourbon? Oh, I disagree, my friend.
Well, okay. Well, are we talking about enjoyability, or are we talking about performance?
Well, I'm not.
I'm going to grab a little splash of Blanton's here, just to,
Blanton's.
That's a Gary Anderson there.
Well, look, we're gonna stick in the Buffalo Trace line. I'm not gonna lie here because I'm hesitating here because I don't think I'm legally allowed to share details since OLCC has not officially given us the approval to go ahead with this, but theoretically, I mean, we're only speaking in theoretical details, right? Nothing concrete right now.
Of course,
right? Yeah. Of course, theoretically, I may have developed a relationship through the generosity and kindness of Buffalo Trace. They may have donated a single barrel of Buffalo Trace bourbon to my foundation. Oh. And, you know, in the next, let's say, month or two, there may be some sort of opportunity to purchase and or donate to the foundation in certain ways to enter some sort of organized activity to obtain one of the bottles of single barrel bourbon as a way to raise money for our scholarship program. Did I speak in like general enough terms that I'm not going to get in trouble with OLCC, do you think?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, you did fine. Now, what I'm thinking of is perhaps I don't know if our sales team listens to the show. They probably don't.
But in case they do,
does anybody listen to this show?
Well, somebody. We're not sure at this point, but. look, we're still here, so we've got a job to do, and damn it, we're doing it. Maybe we can get a Buffalo Trace sponsor and load up a couple of cups for Big Zook and I here, and we all drink bourbon and talk sports at 5:30 every Friday.
We're going.
I mean, everybody's a winner.
Now that might be so. What am I 5 years on the show? Maybe that might be the best suggestion you've had in the last half decade.
Yeah, let's go.
I like where we're going with this.
Well, you've got the relationship to make it happen.
Well, and believe me,
okay,
I know.
Maybe what I'll do is I'll deliver one of the hypothetical single barrel bottles down to you guys, and you could do a taste test on air.
Dude, that's a great idea.
Believe me, I'm quite familiar with the work of Buffalo Trace. Yeah. Very, very familiar.
Now, how much do those things go for? those bottles?
The bottles themselves, well, I mean, if you're just going to buy a Buffalo Trace bottle, I think it's like $28, I think.
Well, no, on the single barrel.
The thing, but they don't sell single barrel Buffalo Trace off the shelf. Like, it's got to be some sort of, you know, that's the whole point, is it's a one-off. It's you know, there's only 100, we've only got 150 bottles of them. And, you know, I I'm not going to throw out full details here, but hypothetically, there might be a grand prize in, you know, kind of our fundraising sweepstakes giveaway that might rhyme with Schmappy Tan Tinkle.
Yeah. All right. Schmappy Tan Tinkle.
Yeah. I like where this is headed.
Yeah, that's great. We'll be on the lookout for
that. There's a lot of possibility with this. Yeah, but exactly. I can't quite. The application has just kind of been submitted, and so we got to make sure we're good before we announce details. But I can say that Buffalo Trace is incredibly generous, and they are wonderful people, and they make fantastic products. So, you know, let's talk sports.
It makes a hell of an old fashioned. It's got a little bit of that sweetness that kicks in. Bingo.
Helping the community, too. I love that. All right. Well, what do you think of when you think of Washington State?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Man. Washington State's a weird one. Washington State is a really, really weird one because it is so up and down. Like, some years, they're just god-awful. Like, god-awful terrible. But even in those years, they show up and knock somebody off. And then in some years, I mean, it's Jason Gesser type stuff where they're, you know, they're running through the pack and ended up in the Rose Bowl. But no matter what type of team they have, anytime they go to Pullman, I think of the back-to-back years that we went there. And we went there like end of October as a junior and then like mid-November, I think, as a senior. We're pulling up. I mean, and those were awful. Awful games, like hard fought, cold. Like, so you'll love this one, Sue. So we're pulling up the stadium, and if you guys played there, right?
Yeah.
With BYU?
Yep.
You pull up that, it's up a hill, mm-hmm. right? You gotta, and we're heading up with the bus, and it's snowing. It had snowed the night before, and we start sliding back down. So we're literally like, you know, we get 20 feet up the hill and start sliding back down in this bus, and the bus driver hops out and throws on his chains. And, you know, so we're behind schedule and we get up there and, you know, so we're behind schedule. We, you know, rush through warm ups and get through the stuff. And of course, you know, I didn't, you know, take a leak beforehand. So, you know, I get out onto the field in the first quarter there, and that locker room is so far away, right? You had the old locker room, like you had to go out the tunnel and down across the, you know, to a whole nother building.
It was like
over
Cal was so, like that.
Oh my God. But, oh God, that's a whole nother story. You thought you were going to fall off that stairwell underneath the stadium.
I know.
But so at Washington State, like the equipment managers, like they plowed the field. So they got like snow packed up against the edges. And if the equipment managers were like, just find a little space over here. They opened up like one of the equipment trunks. And so I just, you know, I had to pee. Right. And so I went on the sideline, but it was packed with snow in November. And so all, you know, the action was at the other end of the field. But as soon as I started, you know, taking a leak on the sideline, all the steam comes up and like, you know, so the entire section of the stands like turns and looks and they all start pointing. They're like, ah, you're going to the bathroom. So that's what I think of when I think of Washington State. I think of hard-fought games in the snow late in the season and going to the bathroom on the sideline.
Yeah, it's good to play them. I feel like it is good to play them up there this time of year.
Yeah, we don't have to deal. You don't have
early
to deal with the weather.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And the other thing too is night games, right? You give the people in Pullman a chance to
lubricate,
a chance to pregame. Yeah, you know, a chance for a little tailgate action, and that place becomes a different beast for a 7:30 kickoff.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm just a little Kansas boy here, but you know they party a little bit out there. In my familiarity now, in 20 some years on the West Coast, there is nobody like the Washington State people when it comes to drinking. they're all just. Like, it's another level almost. It's really incredible. I don't know why.
Well, what else is there to do in
maybe
Pullman?
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You get into you get into the more rural, you know, college towns, and that's what Washington State, University of Idaho. Yeah. I'm sure Lawrence, Kansas isn't exactly a hopping metropolis there. I called some games in Manhattan for Kansas
Oof,
State. You get into some of those towns and things get loose.
No, that's true.
But it's also kind of what makes college football cool. When you look at a lot of the dominant programs in college football over the years, you know, and you can say USC may be the exception, but let's not act like Alabama or, you know, Florida or Florida State or you know, are in these giant towns. You know, even some of the big blue buds come from college towns, whether even in basketball, you're talking about Duke, a small place, or Gonzaga up there now. I think there's something
Lexington.
I think there's something to what you're talking about, where you get this great college environment where there's nothing else to do. You take pride in the school. It's the only thing going in town. Everyone's watching. Everyone's going. And you get these little small places where, you know, they're not like Washington State. They're not going to be great every year, but they sense it when there's an opportunity. They sense it when they're good, or they sense it when there's an opportunity to knock someone off that makes their season. And I do. I think in some ways, places like Pullman can be more difficult to play than going into a packed Coliseum down in California.
And here's why. Because they care.
Yeah.
Right? That you hit the nail on the head. Those places are always the most difficult to play because they care. Playing in Green Bay was always more difficult than playing in Jacksonville, right? Playing in Pullman was always more difficult than playing against UCLA and in Pasadena. Like, the atmosphere, the fans, the team, they're more invested when you don't have anything else around. That's why there's your answer, Rob, is those small towns, they don't have anything else to invest in. And,
yeah.
And that's their thing.
It's high up on their list. Like you look at, I mean, no better example than look at UCLA's attendance. You see in some of the pictures from
it
their games,
so bad.
Like, why would people go? They're in LA. There's all kinds of stuff going on, nice weather, but there's no one there.
No,
it's crazy. Nope. All right. Let's look at the game. We'll do that next with our friend Bourbon Joey Harrington here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. I don't know about you, but when I watched Washington State, I watched a little bit of Washington State when they played Wisconsin, most of the second half. And, you know, I always think of Washington State as, you know, small and scrappy. But, boy.
Nope.
Yeah, they have some horses this year, it seems like. It seems like a different sort of archetype Washington State this year that Oregon is seeing.
This is a completely different Washington State team. And whether it's you go back to the Mike Price days or, you know, more recently the Leach days, you know, you think of Washington State as a team that's just gonna chuck it around and air it out and, you know, win a game 45-42. This Washington State team, and tell me if I'm wrong here, Sook, they're similar in terms of philosophy to BYU, at least defensively, right? This is a team that is not going to, you know, give up 350 through the air but hold you on the ground. Like, this is another one of those teams that Oregon is going to play for a second week in a row that's sitting right there at 28th in run defense and 44th in pass defense. Like, this is a solid football team, and there has been a mentality shift. I think Dickert has been incredible in terms of getting this Washington State team that, like, let's not forget that you still have recruits. How many years out is Leach now? Is it three years?
Right? Because you had a year of Rolovich, COVID. Yeah, you're talking about 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, these are still some of the players that Leach recruited. right, for a certain style. So what they've done up there at Washington State with the new coaching staff to get these guys to buy in, to become a team that can go into Camp Randall and compete with a, I mean, you want to talk about horses. Wisconsin, year in and year out, those dudes are some horses. And for Washington State to go in and beat them at home, that says something about what this coaching staff has been able to do with this group of guys. This is a good football team. Now, are they going to win 11 games this year? Probably not. But this is a team and a program that, under this leadership, has the potential to build something extremely solid going forward.
I want to see what happens, because you look at Washington State and they've performed well on defense, and it's kind of like what you said. The numbers aren't necessarily fantastic. Wisconsin ran the ball for 4-plus yards a carry. They outrushed them, but Washington State bowed their back. They got turnovers. I think they had 2 fumbles. They got a pick, and they kept Wisconsin out of the end zone. So you're right. It's like
they kept them under 20 points.
Yeah, they've held them to 14 points. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not a big defense, but they move around a ton. And sometimes that can be problematic when, you know, sometimes it's easier when you get a front that's just standing in front of you and says, hey, who's going to be more manly? That's what BYU did, and Oregon blew them off the ball. Washington State won't do that. Washington State is going to stunt around and try to shoot some gaps. And I feel like it's going to be kind of a feast or famine thing, how Oregon handles that up front. But Wisconsin wasn't able to sustain drives. And it'll be interesting to see if Oregon, which hasn't really been a big play offense, can they do what Wisconsin didn't, and that's finish drives. Because you'll get yards against the Cougs, and it kind of feels like they're willing to let you do it, but we're going to bow our back and we're going to get big plays.
Well, here's your – I don't say the answer to your question, but look at Oregon the last 2 weeks.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we talked about after the Georgia game. Is look, Oregon put together 3 drives to start that Georgia game that ended in a punt and 2 turnovers. What did they need to do? They needed to finish those drives. Great, they finished the drives against Eastern Washington. Last week against BYU, they literally dominated that line of scrimmage and finished drive after drive after drive after drive. If Bo Nix plays the way that he did against BYU, against Washington State. Well, let's say the last 2 weeks. I mean, Eastern Washington, I know you're supposed to do that. But he's 80% completion, 7 touchdowns, no picks, 3 rushing touchdowns over the last 2 weeks.
He's looked great.
Like, he has looked fantastic. Like, that is going to be the difference. If he can continue to play like that and sustain drives and put the ball in the end zone, that's going to be the difference for this Oregon team. Or I should say the difference between Washington State playing Wisconsin, who couldn't finish, and Washington State playing an Oregon team that has finished almost at will for the last 2 weeks.
The other one to keep an eye on is, and people are bringing this up, and I think it's fair. I don't think it's like a taking a shot at the kid. He got 3 years of being a starter, so there's plenty of meat here on the bone. Bo Nix in his career at Auburn was great at home. Neutral site games and on the road, it was a different story. And they talked about this going into this year is, you know, what Bo needs to do is not do too much, right? They've said that from the get-go, reining him in, controlling him. And I wonder if maybe that has something to do with it, because at home, when you look at his number splits, he is a big-time, at least at Auburn, he was a big-time quarterback at home. And he was a average to below average quarterback on the road. Maybe a fourth year, a little more comfortable in the system. He's familiar with Dillingham. I think that's a big one, too. Again, when you look at the turnovers that killed Wisconsin, do we get that composed Bo Nix we've seen the first 2 weeks? Or is there something to the road split? You as a quarterback, how much different? Or have you ever met someone like that or that's been on a team that just home and away was such a difference for him?
I can't think of anybody that home and away was such a difference. I mean, I have come across people that – here's what I'll say. We've got friends who are – you know, when we were down in Atlanta, made some good friends who were from Auburn, big Auburn fans. And they said when Bo came up here, they said, well, it just depends. I was like, we're you know, we got Bo Nix, you know, not joking around, but, you know, we're going to win the national championship. And they said, well – if you get good Bo, yeah, you very well have a chance. But if you get bad Bo, I don't know. And it depends on which one you're going to get. And that's it. I've never met anybody who is affected that greatly by home and away. And I would say that's overanalyzing things a little bit, except like you said, you got 3 years of tape, you got 3 years of data on it. So what I like that Dillingham has done with Bo is he's not throwing the ball 30, 40 times a game.
No.
Right.
He only threw the ball. He only threw the ball downfield twice against BYU. Twice the whole time.
Yeah, we were 18 for 22. Yep. I think is what it was.
Something like that.
I mean, and I think that's going to be the key with this Oregon team, and that's why I feel really good coming into this week, is because Bo doesn't have to do it on his own. He literally has a stable of running backs. Pick one. The guy who we thought was going to be the starter, potentially, you know, all conference running back, hasn't even seen the field this week, this year in Cardwell. You know, obviously he was dinged up, but week one, barely touched the rock. The star of this offense right now is the offensive line.
Yeah.
Those two things are the type of, like, that's what makes me think that Bad Bo doesn't necessarily need to rear his ugly head, is because Bad Bo doesn't even need to show up. Yeah. Bad Bo doesn't have to. Bo doesn't have to feel like he has to carry this team in a way that maybe he had to do it at Auburn. Throw the ball 20, 25 times. Complete 70% of them. Limit your mistakes. Make some throws when you have the opportunity, and let those horses. I mean, seriously, pick one. How many great? I mean, the running back room this year is so deep, and I'm so excited to see what that turns into over the next few years. And that offensive line returning five starters, the experience that they had, it makes me think that Bad Bo doesn't even need to be a factor, because he doesn't have to feel like he needs to take it all on himself.
If they play the way they did up front against BYU, and that's how their run game goes, Oregon's going to be a really, really tough out for anyone left on their schedule. That's big boy football.
Right.
And like you said, when you run the ball like that,
right,
it makes everything easier. And especially when your quarterback, he can be in the plus one run game and he beats you with his feet. I mean, he had three rushing touchdowns, and you know, they're going for it on fourth down. I like, if I'm an Oregon fan, that's what I'm envisioning is a power run football team. And don't get me wrong, power run can be out of a three wide set. They did it multiple times against BYU, where they gave you a trips formation and they ran the other way from it. I just love the idea of this being a power run team. And like you said, 22 to 25 Bo Nix passes. Take a shot downfield once in a while if they give you the single high safety, if they want to commit to run or commit to the run defense. I think you do that, Oregon's going to be favored in a lot, if not every one of their games going forward.
Rob, I don't disagree.
They're like a mini Georgia.
Mini Ditka.
Can I say that with a straight face?
Mini Ditka.
Mini Ditka. Well, no, they kind of are. Like, they do have.
No, I mean, it is, you can.
The BYU game was the first time I had the thought, because Dan Lanning, you know, being from Georgia, was the first time I looked at this and went, oh, okay. So this is. It was the first time we saw a true identity where it's like, that kind of resembles what they looked like at Georgia. I'm not saying they're even on par with Georgia. They've already played Georgia and lost by freaking 800 points.
Yeah.
But they do have that kind of just, you know, little things, attention to detail, run the football, don't turn it over. That's what Georgia's always done. And they kind of had that look against BYU.
Let me say this. Yeah, let me jump in on the Georgia thing. So Georgia, what was the key? Pick one thing, Suk, that was the defining key of that Georgia game. Let's see if we're thinking the same thing. What did Oregon screw up on against Georgia?
Well, what side of the ball are we talking about?
Tackling.
Defense.
Yeah, defense.
Yeah,
they couldn't tackle to save their
life. Exactly. There you go. Right. So they had 29 missed tackles against Georgia, right? I watched Bennett Williams come up against BYU and take on the lead block. I think they were running, you know, whether it was a some sort of sweep or a power, they're running to the bottom side of the screen, down to the donor section, to the BYU sideline. He comes up and he sets that edge, right? And back cuts up inside, and he has a one-on-one with a scraping backer. At Georgia, that tackle didn't get made.
No.
Right? Against Georgia, the 6'7", you know, 300-pound tight end goes, you know, chucks off the would-be tackler, then goes like full Devin Allen and hurdles over the top of the next guy trying to make a tackle. Against BYU, Bennett sets the edge, back cuts up inside, scraping backer comes over and makes a tackle for a one-yard loss. Like, those are the one-on-one details that got corrected after the Georgia game, right? And that's what we talked about. Like, I wasn't discouraged after the Georgia game. I think there was a, you know, kind of a, all right, this is where we stand. But we said it on the show, like, these were correctable mistakes. And from week one to week three, it looks like they have corrected those mistakes on defense. And if that truly is the case and that stays the case for the rest of the year, just like you said, this is a team that's going to be a tough out for a lot of teams and stands to, you know, stands to make a run in this conference.
All right, sir. Well, thank you as always. And we will talk to you again next week.
Okay.
Enjoy the weekend.
I appreciate it. Hopefully I'll have more details on, you know, more things to share, just, you know, words and liquid in glass containers.
Yeah. It's in the works. I love it.
Wheels are in motion.
Wheels are in motion. All right. Thank you, Joey. See you.
See you guys.
Joey Harrington, each Friday at 5:30 here on The Fan, brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Just how many ants are there on Earth? I thought of your brother when I saw this.
Whatever the number, my brother is going to be like, there's no way for you to know
there's
that.
There's no way to know it.
Like,
but is there?
Is there? Actually, I don't know.
Well, they have come up with a number.
I bet you there's a lot.
That will kick off the club next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.